This is Engaging the Community, a monthly conversation with the president of Missouri State University, Cliff Smart. Welcome back to the program, sir.
Good morning, Scott.
MSU is exploring the possibility of adding a new residence hall on campus due to continued enrollment growth. First, please share with us the enrollment numbers behind what's causing the university to explore this option.
The option that we're evaluating now is the addition of a traditional residence hall. Not an apartment-style building. And so, you know, for anyone who's driven down Kimbrew or St. Louis Street or Elm and Cherry and Jefferson, they're apartment-style buildings going up everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so the market is really taking care of that. But we've seen really some tremendous growth in the last 3 years in our freshman class. So if you look back 3 years ago, our freshman class, we had a few less than 2,500. And this last year, we were about 3,150. In the fall, we anticipate being well over 3,200. And so we'll, you know, we've got a growth of about 750 freshmen in the last 3 years. We've got about 3,500 traditional residence hall rooms, and then we have another 500 to 600 apartment style rooms. And so we think it important that our freshmen live on campus, and so we're going to be at a we're going to be oversold for the third year in a row, where we will have more freshmen wanting to live on campus than we have rooms. When you factor in the sophomores that are coming back. And so we're at that point. If that is to continue, then we have to figure out how to address that.
And that is or is not a requirement for freshmen to live on campus?
There is, unless you live within 60 miles of Springfield. Okay. Or have children or are over 25. And so if you're a traditional student from outside Springfield, you know, from outside that 60-mile residence, there's a requirement that you live here. And frankly, we encourage our traditional students, even if they're from Nixa or Ozark or Springfield, to live on campus if they can afford it.
When you've been at those stages when you're at capacity, what has the campus done to accommodate those students?
We convert spaces to sleeping spaces. And so, you know, there's study halls and there are a variety of places in the residence halls that can be converted to sleeping spaces. That's not ideal because then you're giving up gathering spaces and spaces to watch television communally and et cetera. We also, our RAs, who are upperclassmen students that live on each floor and help in the administration and management of those things, all take on a roommate instead of having a room to themselves. And then for tip, we may have to also rent rooms for a period of time in University Plaza or one of the other hotels around here to put people. And then some of the overflow shakes out. I mean, typically by the end of the first semester, then we're back at capacity and we aren't in an overflow situation any longer.
Okay. Can you measure the impact of having those students live on campus and how it helps the school also financially?
Well, clearly the residence hall experience is a meaningful experience for our students. There is significant programming that goes on in the residence halls. There's also really an important socialization function where you meet people literally from all around the world, certainly all around the state, from different backgrounds, races, religions, ethnicities. It's a part of becoming an adult to figure out how to function around people that in some way or another are different from you. And then you also make lifelong friends. You're in a position, if you live here, to participate in activities from public affairs kinds of things to volunteer activities to lectures, convocation speeches, et cetera, really. And it makes the campus alive. You know, there's a difference between being a commuter college and being a residential college where people are on campus and things are happening and you can tell that there's a connection to and an excitement about being at the university.
And then is there a financial element involved for the university to have those students housed?
Yeah, you know, the housing piece is essentially self-supporting. So, okay. So we don't the university doesn't put additional funding into building or running the residence halls. It supports itself. It's not a big money maker for the university. The we plow the money that comes in back into upkeep and improvements and maintenance of the facilities. For example, this summer and next summer, all the bathrooms in the Blair Shannon facility are being torn out, half of them this summer, half of them next summer, and replaced with brand new facilities. And okay. So the money that the resident halls make go back into upkeep programming and continued construction of new facilities. And so, you know, kind of going back to your first point, it's a careful analysis to figure out if you want to build a new residence hall. On the one hand, there's risk that if you build it, and let's say we add 350 beds, well, if those aren't full, then your judgment's been incorrect, and now you're going to be subsidizing that somehow and have less money to plow back into facilities. On the other hand, there's risk in the status quo as well. If we're essentially going to be limiting our growth if we don't have the ability to provide quality housing for folks. And so we've been on both ends of this. You know, 5 years ago, as more and more students were beginning their career at community colleges, our freshman class was decreasing. Now that's turned around, and our freshman class last year was the biggest it's been in 30 years. And so, you know, we're carefully analyzing the data to try to make the best decision on this.
You mentioned at the top the abundance of new apartment-style housing that's going up near campus. Talk a little bit more about how that factors into the study.
Well, we are certainly, in one sense, we're competitors with them for our upperclassmen. We have the monopoly on the freshmen, but after that, people are free to choose to live wherever they want. Mm-hmm. They have taken away some of our upperclassmen business because, you know, of the brand new facilities that are very conveniently located around the campus. That's actually helped us deal with the increasing freshman class, though. And so, and it's also meant that we now have thousands of upperclassmen students living within walking distance of campus. Mm-hmm. That's been overwhelmingly positive. The look of the campus is now different, as a lot of those blighted neighborhoods have been torn down for beautiful facilities. And just like when freshmen are living on campus and they have the opportunity to be engaged in so many things, well, that's also true of upperclassmen. And so, you know, if you're not living 5 miles away in an apartment complex, but you're 3 blocks away or 2 blocks away, you're much more likely to walk over to a basketball game or a lecture or a festival or music, and you stay more engaged in the university. That's a positive. It's also had a positive effect on parking. If you live on the shuttle route or you can walk or bike, you don't have to drive your car here. We didn't have a single day this year that Bear Park North was full. I attribute that. And we have more students. So I attribute that directly to the fact that so many more people are living just within the very proximity of campus and they don't need to drive.
Okay. So maybe striking more of a balance between being able to retain more of those students on campus but making sure they still have the accessibility near campus and those other units.
Exactly. We have no plans to build any apartment-style housing to compete in that market because the market is taking care of us. On the other hand, it's really a focus on the traditional residence hall that we think brings many, many values to our students. And frankly, your traditional residence halls need to look good and be quality and be sufficient to be competitive. You know, Central Missouri, the University of Missouri, SEMO have all built new traditional residence halls in the last 5 years. We have not built a new traditional residence hall since the early 90s.
I guess we need to get into the cost then and how that would be funded.
Don't know the cost yet. Haven't set a budget. A part of that, there's a whole design and construction process that we go through on right. That. And it is essentially will be funded in large part by the rent, if you will, the cost of a residence hall that the residents would pay.
Okay.
We have some bonds that we complete paying off in 2019. That are auxiliary bonds, and so that would be an additional source of money that's available to pay for the construction. We would certainly bond this project, which I would anticipate to be in the $25-plus million range.
Tell us about the timeline for this study then.
So I think we'll be engaging our board and beginning the work this fall. We want to see the numbers in another class. You know, we anticipate what our numbers are going to be for the fall, but we actually want another class of seeing what the residence hall numbers are, that we can go back and analyze that over a good 5-year period, see a trend, continue to project ahead. And so I think we would be really making a decision towards the end of this year with the goal, if we go down this path and if the board agrees that this is a prudent expenditure, to probably have a new residence hall open fall of 2019.
President Cliff Smart, thanks for joining us on Engaging the Community.
Thanks, Scott.